Chapter 47. The door buzzed and Eric's gun was in his hand immediately. "It'll be the pizzas," said Sally. Eric went over to the window and checked outside. There was a pizza delivery bike parked by the curb. He nodded and motioned for her to get the door. Butler also had his gun out, and he tiptoed across the floor with her. She went to the intercom unit and picked up the handset.
"Pizza delivery," said a man's voice.
"I'll be right down," she said. She replaced the handset. "Okay, you go down and get the pizzas, but stay inside the building," said Eric. "Stay in the shadows, don't show your face. Sam and I will stay here, but the first sign of any trouble will be down."
"It's just the pizza guy," said Sally, opening the door.
"I hear you," said Eric, "but better safe than sorry." Sally went downstairs and opened the front door. A young Asian man in a parka and a red crash helmet was standing on the pavement with a stack of pizza boxes and a carrier bag of soft drinks. Sally looked over his shoulder. A middle-aged woman was walking by with a Labrador on a lead, and on the other side of the street, a young couple were walking hand in hand. Sally gave the guy £40 and told him to keep the change. She closed the door and went upstairs. Eric and Butler put their guns away.
"Excellent," said Eric, taking one of the boxes. He nodded at Butler.
"Take a pizza through to Louis."
Butler took one of the boxes and two cans of Coke and headed to the back bedroom. Eric sat down on the sofa and opened his box. He grinned down at the pizza, grabbed a slice, and took a bite. Sally put the rest of the boxes and the soft drinks onto the coffee table. She hadn't realized how hungry she was. She grabbed a slice and wolfed it down. Tim grinned at her.
"What?"
she said. His grin widened.
"Nothing," he said. "I'm hungry."
"Clearly." Tim went into the kitchen and returned with plates and pieces of kitchen roll. Eric had already eaten his first slice and had started on the second. Butler returned and dropped down on the sofa next to Eric before helping himself to a slice.
"How's Flores?" asked Eric.
"He's developed a bruise on the side of his head," said Butler. "He says he bumped into a wall."
"Is he okay?"
"He is now," said Butler.
"Louis hit him?"
Butler held up his hands.
"The man says he bumped into a wall. Who am I to argue with that? Anyway, he seems happy enough. Louis cut his ties so that he can eat."
"He can stay like that so long as he behaves himself," said Eric.
He popped the tab on a can of Coke and drank thirstily.
"So Flores is Mexican, right?" asked Sally.
"As Mexican as tacos, tequila, and mariachi.
But I thought it was the Colombians who ran the drug trade."
Eric nodded.
"It used to be, but since the death of Pablo Escobar, the Colombians have lost their fire. The Mexicans were the junior partners, but in recent years, the DEA has named them as the number one criminal drug threat to the United States. Colombia still produces most of the world's cocaine, but it's the Mexican cartels who are doing the lion's share of the trafficking. And the Mexicans have been buying coca plantations and importing their own engineers and agronomists to boost productivity. At the same time, they've been forming links with criminal groups across South America."
"And the Colombians have just let them do it?"
"Like I said, the Colombians have lost their fire. Partly because of what happened to Escobar and his people, and partly because of the political pressure the president has been putting on the Colombian government. And the Mexicans have raised murder and torture to a whole new level. They don't just kill the bad guys. They kill their families and everyone who loves them. The Colombians didn't shy away from killing cops or soldiers, but the Mexicans have been carrying out massacres wholesale. The official death toll in the drug wars in Mexico last year was 30,000. With another 30,000 missing. They've taken that level of violence into Colombia, and I can tell you that if they get a foothold in your country, the first thing they'll do is export their violence here."
Eric took a big bite of his slice, smearing tomato sauce across his upper lip.
"That's why catching Flores is such a big deal," he continued. "It stops his cartel dead in their tracks here. But we can chop the whole head off the snake with what Flores has already told us. Assuming he does cooperate, the cartel will be finished, pretty much."
"Has he said he will cooperate?"
asked Tim. Not yet. But he's seen how much the cartel wants him dead, so he knows he doesn't have any choice. If he refuses to help us, then he'll be tried and convicted. And there isn't a prison in the States where the cartel can't get to him. Plus, he has a wife and kids, and a mistress and more kids, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles. His father passed away, but his mother is alive. They became at risk the moment Flores was arrested, and he knows that. What happened at the house in Hampstead has shown him that he has only one way out, and that's to cooperate with us. And if he does, asked Sally, what then? We'll put him and his family in witness protection. New names, new lives. He'll have to spend the rest of his life looking over his shoulder, but it's better than the alternative. And the more of the cartel he helps us put away, the safer he'll be. Tim took a sip of Coke. And what about the guy who attacked us in Hampstead? They didn't look Mexican. Martinez buys in expertise when he needs it, said Eric. In Mexico, he's been hiring former Mexican special forces by the boatload. Cops, too. If they want to switch sides, but he prefers cops to stay on the job so he can get inside information. In the States, he pays a small fortune in bribes to DEA agents, cops, judges, custom agents. Anyone he finds useful, he pays off. He's been hiring former Navy SEALs and Delta Force guys. He pays top dollar, and there are plenty of men around who aren't fussy about who they kill. You think they were Americans? Asked him. The guys who attacked the house in Hampstead. The gun your girlfriend grabbed suggests so, said Eric. I'm not his girlfriend, said Sally quickly. Eric held his pizza over his plate. I just assumed, he shrugged. Sorry, no offense. We used to go out, said Tim, but stopped speaking when Sally flashed him a warning look. Any relationship Tim and I might have had isn't really the issue, said Sally. What matters is that we get through this without any more casualties. We're on the same page there, said Eric. So why don't we get Tim to contact his bosses at the Met and get some ARVs over here? ARVs? Repeated Eric. Armed response vehicles, said Tim, with specialist firearms officers. We need to keep this low profile, said Eric. The fewer people who know where we are and what our plans are, the better. But if they do find us and they come with reinforcements, we'll be outgunned, said Sally. What do we have? 3 handguns and 2 of the HKs we took from them. They don't know where we are, said Eric. But the more people we tell, the more likely it becomes that they will know. So let's just leave things as they are, shall we? He took another large bite of his pizza and chewed happily.